I praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Tonight's going to be the night that overwhelming flow of what God has for you is going to be set loose. God has so much ready for you, so much that you don't understand, so much that you've never seen, so much that, glory to God. Let's go ahead and get started. Go, you may be seated. Today I'm going to be talking on stop waiting on God. We must stop waiting on God to make things happen. Because we always try to, we pray, we ask the Lord for help. We are constantly trying to ask and get God to help out with something. But if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we can start off at verse 19. Because this pretty much encapsulates everything I'm going to talk about tonight. Verse 19 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought. He didn't say he's buying. He didn't say you're on an own layaway. He said you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." We have been so constantly trying to ask God for help, constantly trying to get God to do something in our lives when he's already done it. He's waiting on you to move. You already have your victory. You already have your peace. You already have your joy. You already have your healing. You already have your finances. We just have to go and do what God wants us to do. God is bringing, and it's so crazy because God has done so much, but he's still giving more. God is constantly giving us more. God is bringing you something fresh and new every single day. You just have to open your eyes and see it. If you go to John 15, verse 5. He says, "I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing." God is saying right there that he is constantly bringing fruit into our lives. He is constantly giving us something, but we're never taking that fruit off the branch. Glory to God. He set us in a position to win. He has set us in a position to win. But we are always blinded by what's in front of us to not really see what's beyond and what God has done. Oh, God, glory to God. Oh. We have to understand that, see, God is always working in the seed time and harvest. It's always planting a seed, sowing and letting that seed grow, and reaping the harvest from it. What we have to understand is that we are that seed. God has made us that seed. But we have to nurture that seed. We have to take care of that seed. That's why I said, what? No, you're not, that you are the temple of God, right? That temple is the seed. That temple is the seed, but we got to nurture that seed in order to really release the harvest. We cannot. When I was younger, I thought I could grow a sunflower. Mind you, I don't have a green thumb. So it grew a little bit. It grew. But I stopped taking care of it. That's when it started to droop. That's when it started to die, and I had to throw it away. But it's the taking care of the temple, taking care of the soul, the body, taking care of all that, having to make sure that all is aligned. It gets to the point to where that's where God is able to use you as a seed and produce that harvest. The harvest cannot come without the seed being planted. And if the seed is not planted, you cannot release the harvest. Amen? Just, I'm gonna keep it at John 15. It says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So the person that was a prime example of being the seed that God, well, everybody knows who the prime example was. It was Jesus. Jesus did not perform miracles. He planted seeds and made the miracles grow. He didn't perform miracles. He planted that seed and let it grow. It was always something it was always an action before there was a miracle. So there's always got to be an action in your life before you can have that miracle in your life. when Jesus was at that party, and then he and Mary told him they needed the wine, right? Jesus said, I'm going to need something from you in order for me to produce something, Lord God. In order for him to produce something, he had to have something from us. Right? That's why they got the jugs of water. And it wasn't until he was able to receive the jugs of water that he was able to produce the miracle. Another example, the man that was blind. Jesus sped on the earth, wiped his eyes, and told him, go. He didn't say, let me take you there. He said, I did my part. Now it's up to you to go to that lake and wipe your eyes. And then your miracle will happen. So it's not until we make that action and step forward in God's will, in God's way, that we're able to produce a miracle in our lives. Amen? So that being said, The only thing that is holding you back from your miracles, holding you back from your prosperity, holding you back from your health, holding you back from your wealth is you. You are the only one that's holding you back. Ooh, got quiet. Satan has nothing to do with holding you back. Satan has no power. The world has no power over you. 1 John 4:4 says, you're of God, little children, and greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So why in the world are we stuck in the world's standards? It's because we are, I'm jumping ahead. That leads to the next point, yep. We are not producing because we are living in a mundane soul. A mundane soul, or I put it like this, a flesh operating soul. See, God gave us the soul. The soul, everybody knows what the soul is. The soul is our mind. It's the intellect, it's the emotions, it's the conscience, it's the memories, it's everything that God, it's the mind. God has created that tool for us, right? For us to use in his will. The best way of me thinking about it is when God first created Adam, he gave him a task. He gave him the task to name every animal. Every animal on the planet. You know you had to have some kind of brain capacity to come up with multiple names. When me and Deidre had to come up with names, it took us a while to come up with our kids' names. Okay? It took us a good while. Especially with all of them starting with C's. We had to figure this out. Okay? So I knew it took Adam a minute to figure out. He had to have the brain capacity in order to come up with those names for every single animal in the world? Come on. So you got to understand that. That makes me understand. It makes me realize that God gave us a tool that is amazing. It is a tool. The soul is not nothing. We have. It's not an enemy. It's more of an enemy to us like a hammer. You can use a hammer to build a house. Use a hammer to build something. You can also use a hammer to smack somebody across the head. That's what it is. The soul is a tool. And what we have done now is we have taken this tool and brought it down to mundane standards. We have brought it to appease our bodies. So you remember, we're a three-part being. I am a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So now the soul was supposed to be helping the spirit out. But right now it's focusing on the body. The body has... And this is why I already know this. The body has three things. Three desires that it's only concerned about. That is food, sex, and comfort. That's the only three things the body's worried about. But what about money? Money's a part of comfort. You think everything, that's why you have probably seen about 20 ads today about some food, about a movie that'll make you feel good. See, the world operates on those three things because that's all it knows. And that's what all our bodies know. So that's why the soul is too busy trying to appease that. And so it has become mundane. It's forgotten that it has a supernatural purpose. it's forgotten that it has, because that naming of animals is a supernatural purpose. It was not right now. I can give you 20 names right now. Probably more. But I already know that was supernatural. It was a supernatural ability that God gave him to Adam. God gave Adam a supernatural ability to be able to name all those animals. And this is why I always bring this. I always go back to the scripture every single time I teach. It's so funny. This is why we go to Romans 12. Verse 1 and verse 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove it is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How do we sacrifice our bodies? It's about understanding that the worldview is not it. It's about understanding that what we see is not it. It's sacrifice is about understanding. And the only way about understanding is by dealing with the soul. That's why those two are hand in hand. That's why the renewing of the mind is so important. How do you renew the mind? By the word of God. By praying in the Holy Spirit. By accepting that you cannot do it on your own. Only God can do it. So there must be a reprogramming of the soul and a readjusting of the body in order for us to take that step that God wants us to take, because God has done 99%. God has done 99.999999%. And I'm not doing the math, but whatever that 1001% is, that's what God wants us to do. And the only way we're able to do that is by aligning our spirit, soul, and body into perfect alignment so that our spirit can connect with God and use our bodies to do that miracle. You want the spiritual to become the physical? The only way that happens is if you take that step in the physical by taking that step God wants us to take. So stop waiting on God. I'd like to say that again. Stop waiting on God. That feels good. Okay, come on, glory. That felt good to say just now. Glory. I'm gonna be hitting this from two fronts. So it's about knowing who you are. That's why the soul is so important to be renewed. Because once you renew that soul, that's how you know who you are in God. That's how you become confident.
Yes, sir.
In God. And that's how you're able to take that step and not be scared about what you see ahead of you. So it's about knowing who you are in Christ. So once you know who you... This is where it's going to get interesting, too, because, ooh, glory. Ooh, glory. Glory. So once we get our soul, spirit, soul, and body aligned, and we know who we are, we also have to remember one thing, too. We don't know everything. It's about knowing and not knowing. about knowing who you are and not, and understanding that we do not understand everything. That's one thing about this world too. We really believe, and it's hard for especially my generation, because I think it started around Leroy Jr.'s generation, our generation, where we got into the computer age, and we've gotten to the point to where we think we know everything. We think we can understand everything. I'm what they call, I call myself the IT guy for the family. Because whenever something's going on, they're like, hey, Darnell, how to do this? I understand all the tech stuff. But I have to understand, too, that that doesn't mean I know everything. I have to understand. Glory to God. Go to John 15 again. Because I want you to see one part. I don't know if anybody understood that one part. Clearly, and I see it, and I was like, oh, wow. Let's go to verse 5 again. It says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He abideth in me, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Right? If a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Of course, that's when you understand, that's when you don't understand who you are. You're cast into the fire of a daily hail. A daily hail in your life because you're suffering because you don't understand who you are. You're misidentified. Amen. So verse 7, it says, if ye abide in me, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Well, that's not the scripture I want. Glory to God alone. Here we go, verse 5, I'm sorry. I keep skipping something. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, and he cast forth his branch, and is withered, and a man gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they shall be burned. If a man abide in me, no, that's not the scripture I want. Oh, help me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, go on, let's go. There we go. Verse 2. Let's go for verse 1, just for the fun of it. I am the true vine, and the Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. He purgeth it. When I looked at the word purge, purge means to take off so it can grow more. Yep. Yeah. We've come to the understanding with the word. We have to understand with the word of God that we don't know everything about the word of God. We have our scriptures that we memorize. We have our scriptures that we think we know. That when we think we know a scripture, we close off ourselves from not getting revelation from it. You don't think so? How many of y'all know John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. How many of y'all know that? Yep. Y'all know it, right? Yeah. Don't raise your hand for this one. How many of y'all think y'all get a revelation from it? How many of y'all think y'all get a revelation from it? I told you not to raise your hands. I didn't expect no hands to be raised. See, if we don't have an open understanding of the scriptures of God, an openness with the scriptures of God, we won't not be able to receive a revelation from it. If we're stuck in the way of, oh, I think I know this scripture. Oh, I know this scripture. Front ways, back ways, upside down and everything. I can read it backwards to you. If we are in the understanding of that, we can never receive what God, the more God got for us. You know who was like that? Who believed they knew every single scripture and knew everything about the Pharisees. Yep, the Pharisees. They thought they knew every single thing until God came along and gave them actually revelation. So it's about us letting go of the logo so that we can get the rhema. Letting go of what we know, because I feel like we all think we know a lot. And letting God flow in what he knows. See, in Romans 10 and 10:16, Lord of God, I'm sorry, Romans 10:17, I apologize. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we understand, Apostle taught us that plenty of times, that the two hearings are different. The first hearing is the logos. The second hearing is the rhema. If we kept off, see, we keep ourselves listening to the hearing part, the first hearing, right? And we think we know the scriptures. We think we understand everything that we've learned. We got the word. We got that word. We understand that word. We cap off that second hearing. See, we think we know, so we get the revelation. And we're like, okay, we got the revelation. Yay! But you got to understand there's deeper revelation in that scripture. We cannot. I want to phrase this so importantly, because this is very important. We cannot be the ones to cap off the revelation. We cannot be the ones to cap off what God has in store for us. We are the ones that's capping on God has in store for us, because we are not open. God wants more for you. God has more for you. But if your eyes are not open, and if you're not willing to let go of the religious standards that you have in your life, you can never receive what God has for you. You're going to cap off what God can give you. I can give you a prime example of how it is. Let me show you. This is, I actually came down. This right here, this is when we are under understanding of God. Sorry, I'm hitting my trail on y'all right now. I'm moving very fast. Sorry. This is the understanding of the word. Yes, I know the word. This is good. I know. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Ye have God, little children, because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. I know these scriptures. I know the revelation that's in these scriptures. So I don't need any more from these scriptures. This is it right here. Right? But if we understand that there is more in those scriptures, amen, if we understand that God has a lot more in those scriptures that we can never understand, that we have, the only way we can understand it is if we let go of our understanding. This, I wish I had more steps. I wish I had more steps to take right now. Because that right there, that's how the word is supposed to be in your life. It's supposed to be a constant step. Up, 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 up. Because there's more understanding, more knowledge, and more wisdom from it. I understand this because it's so funny because, like I said, I made a joke earlier. Because Romans 12, 1 and 2 is pretty much in every single sermon that I've taught. And I was wondering, I asked the Lord, I said, why is that scripture so put up in my sermons? And it's not because it's my favorite scripture. God was telling me that is more in that scripture than I know. So every time I put I learn something, it leads right back to that scripture, is because there's more in that scripture than I need to learn from it. The reason I'm saying all this right now is because we are capping off God's ability to do great things in our lives by not stepping forward and doing what we need to do, and not and cutting off. We're not stepping forward, and we're cutting off. We're not stepping forward with what God tells us to do, and we're cutting off God's wisdom and God's understanding in our lives. These are two fronts that if we open them up, the floodgates will open. If we know who we are in Christ, and we understand that I don't know everything, it becomes a catalyst of God's miracles. It becomes your hope. It becomes your joy. It becomes your freedom. It becomes your peace. It becomes your health. Because now we are that unmovable object. Woo! See, this all operates through faith and an understanding that the only way we can know who we are, and the only way we can understand that we don't know everything, is by faith. If we don't, see, faith is the substance of things hoped for and evidence of things not seen, right? So you got to understand that it's something that we cannot see, but it's something that we have to achieve. So it's an act of letting go and stepping forward. It's an act of I like that. An act of letting go and stepping forward. I don't know why. I feel like I'm seeing, like, you can't, like, if you are weighed down by everything you know, you're weighed down by everything that you think you know. Let me put it like that. Think that you think you know. You cannot take that step forward. So you can know who you are. Yeah, I'm a child of God. I know who I am. But if you don't let go of what you know, you can't take that step forward and get what God wants you to get. So I'm going to say, I want you to say it. Stop waiting on God. I'm going to stop waiting on God and become the harvest. I'm going to stop waiting on God and become the harvest. Glory to God. Now, when you stop waiting on God and become the harvest, we have to, there's one thing you have to understand, and it's far beyond your problems. Meaning, this is not about your problems. This was never about your problems. If you go to Luke 4:18. Go right here. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised." This is what this is about.
Yep.
It was never about, bear with me when I say this, okay? It was never about your health. It was never about your wealth. It was never about the benefit of you. I know y'all like, ooh, what you mean? I'm saying this one time, and I'm going to say it to you again. It's not about you. You got to understand in your mind, it was never about you. It was about God's will in your life. Now, what's so crazy about this is, once you do God's will in your life, everything else falls into place. So we just have to have a switch of understanding here, all right? We have to have a switch of understanding. It's not about God help me. It's about God what I can do for you. This letting go and stepping forward is not about what's in it for me. This letting go and stepping forward is never about, it's letting go and stepping forward of God what you want me to do. Because once you understand what God is when God, when you do what God wants you to do, the benefits start flowing in for yourself as well. I always think of it this way too, because I feel like we ask God for help, and we ask God for the help with this and da 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 da, and God, help me so much. I need help, right? We do that so much. And I feel like that's base level. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, I feel like it's base level to where God wants us. It's not about our wants. That's so mundane. It's so mundane to what God wants us to do, right? So I feel like if we switch our mentalities from God help me, from I'm taking this step in God's will for myself, but I'm taking a step in God's will for what he wants me to do. If we take that mindset and switch, you're going to go beyond what you wanted. God's going to bless you so much more than what you wanted, because you're doing his will, his way, and what he wants. So he's going to give you more than enough. How do you think Apostle did it? Apostle put his head down. He even said to himself, he said he didn't know he became a millionaire, because he was too busy doing what God wanted him to do. So how do you think it's going to work for us? The only way, we got to keep our head down and do what God's will. We got to keep ourselves in the word, keep ourselves focused in what God wants us to do. So it's not about God, what you can do for me. It's God, what I can do for you. I'm letting go of what I know. Ooh, that's a lot of sacrifice. That's a lot of sacrifice we got to do now. I feel like that's what Romans 12 and 1 is talking about. A lot of sacrifice of the body here. Understanding of letting go of what I know, letting go of what I think, letting go of what I understand, and going where God wants me to go. Glory to God. So one more time, I want you to say this, all right? I'm not waiting on God no more. I'm going to be the harvest. One more time. I'm not waiting on God no more. I'm going to be the harvest. Amen. Glory to God. Ooh, wait. No, wait. Hold up. I thought about it. I'm sorry. I was about to close, but I thought about something just now. 1 John 4:4, right? It says, "Ye of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world," right? I thought about it. We have to, it says, "Ye of God, little children." It doesn't say, "Ye of God, big adults." It doesn't say big adults, right? We have to come at this. We have to come at this as children. See, when I was raising I'm still raising my kids. let me get that straight right now. But while raising my kids, I've learned a whole lot. I've understand that I am watching what they watch. Yeah. I'm making sure I understand what they're watching, what they're seeing. I have everything on lockdown because I'm trying to make sure and understand, and I'm guiding them. Yeah. I'm guiding them because, like they said, the child's brain is like a sponge, right? The child's brain is like a sponge. It takes in everything, right? So that's why I have to be sure that everything my kids watch, I'll watch a movie before them, before they go see the movie, to see if it's something that I want them to see, right? So when it comes to us listening to the word, us reading the word, right? We had to come to it as a child. If you want the greatness, you have to humble yourself and understand that you are a child and that you don't understand everything. So being that child lets God become the adult. It lets God become the adult in your life to where you don't have to worry about everything. When I was a child, I had to worry about nothing. I had no bills to pay. I ain't had no worry about no food. It was all provided for me. That's why. So when you're a child. That's why it's so important that we understand that we're a child. Because when you're an adult, you're setting your ways. Adults are setting their ways. Adults' understanding is set in their ways. So that means you're setting your scripture ways, you're really like an adult. When you're looking at a scripture in an adult mindset, oh, I know that scripture. Yeah, I know that scripture. Ain't nothing else. I run that scripture dry. But you gotta understand that if you come to it as a child, with a child's wonderment, if that makes sense. Because I know for a fact, my kids to this day ask 2,543 questions. That may be exaggerated enough, but I feel like it's true. Because they're curious. They always want to know more. They want to see more. They want to understand why. Well, why are that? Why are we doing this? What is that for? What is that? That's how you gotta be for the scripture. That's how you gotta be for that scripture. You gotta be like, why? What's that for? What is this? Well, what about the scripture before that? What about the scripture after that? What is their understanding on this whole chapter? Lord, tell me what it is. So that's why you have to be as a child. The adult mindset is stuck in the way of I know. When the child mindset is stuck in the way of I am. Glory to God. Hey. Hey, glory. That one caught me off guard too. Glory. So all I'm saying is you got to think as a child when it comes to the scriptures. Because when you think as a child, that's when God's able to treat you. I know this sounds terrible. It doesn't sound terrible. Treat me like a child, God. Treat me like a child. Take care of me. I don't mind, Lord God. I don't mind. Treat me like a child. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.